listening to Law and Gospel on this February the 22nd in the year of our Lord 2017. I'm Pastor Tom Baker. I'm all alone today. Yesterday I was with Mark Smith, tomorrow with Wes Reimnitz. It's a Insight Wednesday. Now, what are we going to have an insight on? Once more, the readings from last week indicated that there appeared to be a contradiction in the Bible. What was the contradiction? Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say you, do not resist the one who is evil, but if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." Now, how do we understand this? Is Jesus quoting what the Pharisees said about an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth? No. He's quoting Exodus chapter 21. He talks about, in verse 24, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Now, that certainly sounds like Exodus 21 is contradicting the words Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount when he says, "You've heard it said of old, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you." But isn't it Jesus who is talking to us in Exodus 21? Of course it is, because the whole Bible is the Word of God. So we have here an apparent contradiction in the Word. What is Jesus saying here? How can we resolve this apparent contradiction? Well, you know what the name of the program is, Law and Gospel. Now, Law and Gospel is not only meant to properly distinguish between the law and the gospel. For example, that's pretty easy to do sometimes if you're reading a Bible text. Thou shalt not kill. Is that law or gospel? Well, that's law. And he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's gospel. In other words, the law is always a conditional statement leading or supposedly resulting in your salvation, which, of course, you can never do. The gospel is an unconditional statement. I didn't baptize myself when I was an infant. I was baptized, which means a passive. It's something that God did for me. So you can usually tell when Jesus is speaking law and when he is speaking gospel. That's one distinction. But the distinction that we need to work with today to help us understand this apparent conflict between the sayings of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount and what is said in Exodus is to look not just at the distinction between what is the law, what is the gospel, but the distinctions of the different uses of law that God makes. The different uses of law, what do you mean by that? You see, there are three uses of the law that God makes. Many Lutherans learn them as curb, mirror, and rule. So let's break that down just a little bit. Curb is referring to the government's use of the law in curbing wickedness. So we have speed limits, we have tax laws, we have laws against theft, murder, etc. That's the work of the government. And they're not particularly interested in the motivation behind why you're breaking those laws. You will be penalized for it. The second use of the law is for the church, where the law is used to mirror your true self, that you are truly a sinner in need of God's salvation. So that's kind of the evangelism use of the law, where before you tell someone their sins are forgiven, you need to convince them that they are a sinner. For example, when you say the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our trespasses," what are you confessing there? You're confessing that you are a sinner and in need of the forgiveness of sins. Similarly then, when we're talking about what God has done for us in the second use of the law, he is preparing us for the hearing of the gospel. It would be like somebody is dying of thirst, but they're unaware of it. And so you say, "Do you have real thirst in your mouth?" "Oh, yes, I do." "And then would you like a drink?" "Yes." Somebody has to be aware that they're hungry or they're thirsty before they will drink or they'll eat. Similarly, someone has to be aware that they're a sinner before they'll even want to listen to the idea that their sins can be forgiven. There's a third use of the law, and this is for Christians. When you become a Christian, you do not automatically know the will of God in all areas of your life. So the third use of the law is really an informational use of the law to inform you what is the will of God. And a lot of times, that's very important to understand because you can be confused. Let's just take one example. In the medical field, we now have the ability to keep somebody alive, at least outwardly, after their brain waves have ceased. You can have a machine that keeps the heart going or the lungs going, etc. But in reality, they've died. So Christians were asking, well, can we remove the plug? Can we stop the machines? And the church has come to a decision on that, taking a look at the Bible. There is active and passive euthanasia. Active euthanasia is when you give somebody a shot or a drug that kills them. That is always wrong. Passive euthanasia is when you remove from them instruments that are only keeping them alive when they've actually truly died. That is permitted. But that had to come about. It wasn't talked about centuries ago because very few machines were available at that time to keep somebody alive after they had really died. But today that was an issue. So there are areas where questions are asked by people, "What is the will of God for my life?" Now, sometimes pastors are used. An individual will come, and I just had this question not long ago. They had a job offer, and he was wondering, he and his wife, should they take the job offer? Well, I'm a pastor, and since their names are not in the Bible specifically, nor the job offers they have, that is really up to them to make a decision. And as a pastor, I counsel them saying, take a look at all of the options you have, and then remember whatever choice you make, since neither one is a sin, staying with the job or going to the next one, God's promises will follow you whatever your decision is. Just try and get as much information as you can before making that decision, which is no problem at all. All right, so when we're talking about distinctions between law and gospel, we also mean the different kinds of law. We've also talked about the different kinds of gospel. There are two primary uses of the gospel, and we're not going to go into them much except just to explain them. The one is, if you're dealing with a person who has sinned, what is the gospel you give them? And the other one is, if you're dealing with a person who is unable to do a good work they know they should do, that's a different gospel that you give them. But we've talked about that before, and it'll be coming up again. But at this point, let's stick with the law. When Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. How can we understand this in light of the fact that Exodus clearly says eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot? The distinction here is a distinction between the first use of the law and the third use of the law. What do you mean by that? Oh, well, let me explain. The first use of the law is where the government has penalties for disobedience. The third use of the law is addressing individual Christians as to how they relate to other people. Now, you're going to say, well, isn't that the same? No, not at all. Let me give you an example. When I was at the seminary, one of the jobs that I had helping put me through the seminary was driving for Yellow Cab. Now, one night, I had dropped a fare off, and suddenly a young man pointed a pistol at me through the open window on the passenger side of the cab. One of his friends ran around the other side of the cab, and my window was open there also. He took my watch, my coin changer, and some bills I had in my shirt. Now, I have been taught by other taxi cab drivers, once you get a certain amount of money, put it under your binder. Don't leave it in your shirt. So there was some $80 up there, which they didn't get. They did hit me in the neck with his fist, but they didn't shoot me. Now, let's say they're running away, which they did. They began to run away from the cab. If I had had a gun, which I didn't, was I permitted to shoot the fleeing suspects as they ran away? Would that have been legal? Well, guess what? In Missouri, the answer is no. Even if somebody comes into your house with a gun and they threaten the family, and then you pull out a gun and they run out the back door and are running away, if you shoot them, you are in trouble. Because the law is very clear. If the danger of your being hurt or harmed is over, then you are not permitted to go after the suspect and shoot him. For example, there was just a recent case where a owner of a store was robbed. Then when they left, he ran out of the store with his gun and shot the two criminals in the street, and he was arrested. However, I did not have the right, therefore, to shoot in the back fleeing suspects. If the police had witnessed the theft going on, they do have the right to use appropriate means to capture the thieves, even to the point of shooting the gun, because, of course, one of the thieves was in possession of a weapon. If you take a look at Exodus 21, where it's talking about an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, you will notice that this is about civil laws. This isn't about how individuals respond to one another. So what's the distinction here? Well, in those days, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, that was a wonderful law. What? Well, think about it. If you were a really rich man and owned a farm, it was not uncommon that you might steal the animals of someone who was on your farm, but they were not as rich as you. They did not have the kind of authority you had, and nothing would happen to them. And there were many other such things I could share that would occur. Now, what God is saying is, it doesn't matter if you're rich or if you're poor. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And also, it went on. Hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. What is the law saying? Is that if you are brought before a judge and you have stolen something from your neighbor, it doesn't matter whether the person who stole the item is rich and powerful or whether the neighbor is poor and not powerful. the punishment ought to be the same to each one because the theft is identical. That was really, really important. So what is Jesus talking about? You have heard that it was said. Well, what had happened among some religious leaders, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, they had changed it into a revenge code where you could go out and take revenge on someone. For example, I had two brothers. Let's say one of them is murdered by a criminal. Do I have the right, therefore, to go and find the criminal's family and murder one of his brothers? No. But the government has the right to go and arrest that criminal and then put him into jail, etc. Because an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. So what Jesus is speaking out against is a teaching on the part of some people that was not appropriate. For example, he does this elsewhere where he says, you have heard that you are to love your friends and hate your enemies. Well, guess what? That's nowhere found in the Bible. In fact, the Old Testament is very clear that we're even to love our enemies. But Jesus is talking about what some religious leaders were saying. It would be like me saying something as the following. You have heard that it was said by some religious leaders that the way to be saved is to invite Christ into your life, to say a prayer. But I say unto you that an unbeliever cannot do that because they are an unbeliever. And the only time a person would ever want Jesus in their heart is, guess what? When he's already there. Because that takes faith to invite Christ into the heart. And faith is not something that we create. It is something instead that God creates. So there would be an example where I would be saying, you've heard it said of some, of old and even today, this kind of thing. Very, very important to understand that when Jesus is criticizing something, you just ought to jump to the conclusion he is never criticizing something that he said elsewhere in the Bible, but he's criticizing a wrong view of what he had said. So what does this mean? It means that the government ought to give out penalties justly, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But on the individual basis, we are to love our enemy, and Jesus gives some good instruction here. If somebody comes to me and he slaps me on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If he wants a tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If he forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. See, this is third use of the law, how we as Christians deal with other people. Now, does that mean that after he takes both, for example, my tunic and my cloak, that I don't go to the police? No, I still can go to the police. But for example, when the robber, you know, put his gun through the window, he said, give me your money. I took off my change, which was, I had a change little machine that had nickels, quarters, dimes. You've seen them. And I had it on my belt. I gave him that. I gave him the money that was in my shirt. And he saw the watch, and I gave him that. I didn't shoot him. Not because I didn't have a gun. But even if I had a gun and they were running away, it would have been wrong for me to shoot them. Here's where the distinction between law and gospel is very, very helpful. So Exodus 20, 21, when it encourages an eye for an eye, that chapter is about punishments to be given to guilty criminals. That's very important to understand. But in Matthew 5, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is speaking about how we as Christians deal with our neighbors, including our enemy. We don't give them what we think they deserve. Now, I think I've said this on the radio before, but let me give you a made-up story that I have. Two neighbors are living together. They have a common driveway. And the one neighbor really dislikes the neighbor next door because the neighbor next door is richer than he is. He's got a big house. He's got a beautiful car. Plus, he has a tree, and its leaves not only fall in his yard, but fall in the yard of the neighbor who hates him. So this neighbor doesn't like this rich guy at all. One day, this particular neighbor is getting in his car in his garage and is driving backwards down the driveway. He looks in his rearview mirror, and all of a sudden he sees his rich neighbor jumping up and down, running towards the back of the car, waving his arms. So quickly he puts on the brakes, opens the door, slams the door shut, goes there. "What do you want now?" he says to the rich neighbor. And all the rich neighbor does is he points to the back of the car. And as the other neighbor goes around, looks at the back of the car, he sees his 2-year-old son sitting in the driveway. He had almost run him over. Do you think that the original neighbor who hated the rich man has an attitude change? Well, he sure does. He so hated him, he just didn't expect that his neighbor would help save his own son. And so I can understand what happens. Not only does he have a total different attitude toward the rich neighbor, he really appreciates him, but when the leaves fall, he not only rakes them up in his own yard, but he goes over to his neighbor's yard and rakes his also. You see, that's what Christianity is all about, because what Jesus did, he did not just lie behind the back of the car. He was run over. That's crucifixion. And he did that so that you would not be run over, so that you would not be forsaken, so that he would take upon himself all the sufferings that you should have gotten. That's what Christianity is about. So that when we talk about a law and gospel and we provide the gospel to someone who doesn't expect God to be that way, and then finds out how much he truly does love you. Wow. That's really important. And reminds us of Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount, verses 43. He said, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." By the way, that's nowhere in the Bible. So this would be a teaching of certain religious leaders. So he's contradicting that. "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven." You see, this is really important to understand, that as individual Christians, we relate to individuals differently than sometimes the legal system does. For example, early in my ministry, we lived in a trailer park, and there was an individual there who was arrested because he was dealing inappropriately with his daughter. I went and visited him in jail. We began to talk. And after months, after he got out of jail, he became a Christian. And I remember he got a job at a gas station at night, but he was very afraid because it was an area where robberies took place. And I would go over during the night and stay with him during his shift so that he wouldn't have fear. Now, why did I do that? Did I appreciate what he did to his daughter? Of course not. No, the police were called in and appropriate penalty was provided. But after he became a Christian and he stopped from doing what he had been doing, I dealt with him in a different way than the law had dealt with him. Because the law dealt with him on the basis of the first use of the law that God has, and I dealt with him on the basis of the third use, to be a neighbor, to love your enemy, to do good to those that you don't really appreciate very much. We can talk a lot more about that. But at this point, what I want to do is remind you that tomorrow is Rumination Thursday. You may have a particular subject to talk about. Wes Reimnitz has some on his mind. But if you like one, just email me at longgospel@longgospel101.com. Today, our goal was to show you that Jesus, even when he quotes the Old Testament, never contradicts it, but often is opposed to a wrong interpretation of how people are reading the Old Testament books. I'm Tom Baker. Thanks for listening to Long Gospel. Till tomorrow, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.